Okay? Ready? All right, well, isn't it exciting to know that God has a plan for your life and that it's a good one? I didn't hear a lot of excitement about that. I don't know. Okay. All right. Well, 2 weeks ago, we looked at that truth in God's Word, how He has established a plan for each one of us. He's written it in His book before any one of our days came into existence. And that plan is a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. That's a good plan. However, what we also saw was that the fulfillment of that plan is not automatic. Did you know that? I hope you did, if you do, if you were here last time. Although God has established a plan for each of our lives, if we want to see those plans come to pass, it requires our involvement. It just doesn't happen because God snaps His finger and all of a sudden, bam. And we understand that's because we have a will, right, that has to be engaged to cooperate with God's plan. And so for God's plans that He has established to be accomplished, we said that it requires two acts on our part. First and foremost, we must agree with that plan, right? How many think it's a good idea to agree with God's plans for your life? But how many know that's not enough? That's where you must begin. Then we must cooperate with those plans. We must get on board. And in order for us to do that, that means we must be intentional. We have to be deliberate about doing what God wants us to do. And so agreeing with God and cooperating with His plans is just not going to happen by accident. Our will must be engaged. But now once we're willing to agree and cooperate with Him, what are some of the ways that we can do that? It's one thing to know we need to do it, right? It's another thing to know how to do it. What is it we go about doing in order to agree with God and cooperate with Him? And so what I want to begin looking at this morning is one of the ways that we can intentionally agree with God and cooperate with Him so that His plans, whether it be for our life, for our family, for our church, or what have you, can come to pass. I don't know about you, I don't want to just know about God's plans. I want to see them transpiring in my life. And I want to see them transpiring in our church. And I want to see them transpiring for this city, in this county. Amen? I want to see them fulfilled for the kingdom of God. But how many know we got to start here? We got to start right home. Okay? And so we're going to look at a few of the intentional ways that we can deliberately agree and cooperate with God. But this morning, we're just going to look at one. And that is going to be in the area of prayer. How many know there's a fair amount the Scripture says about agreeing with God in prayer and cooperating with Him, right? I mean, many of us know many scriptures about prayer. You know, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, you know, give thanks, or that's 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we know that the Word of God talks a great deal about prayer, right? Okay? The challenge is, do we pray? And when we pray, how do we pray? Because there's different ways to approach God, isn't there? And I was challenged some time ago by a message that was focusing on prayer, because the message kept talking about praying in faith. And the more he talked about praying in faith, I realized, I don't know if I pray in faith all the time. I kind of think I pray in doubt. You ever think of that? I'm not patting myself on the back for it, trust me. But if we come in doubt, then how much of our prayer do you think is going to get answered? Okay, because the Bible doesn't say we must come to God in faith. Faith is what pleases God, okay? Well, what I want to share about prayer this morning is something that we heard at the National Conference a few weeks ago that Pastor Mike Ware actually taught. And the reason I want to share it with you this morning is because what he shared was so simple and so profound. I really saw the potential for it to be able to revolutionize many of our prayer lives. It was that significant. And so sometimes, as Pastor Larry Stockstill said, a preacher will do the art of what he calls creative borrowing. In that God gives someone else a revelation, but it was fresh for me, I will tell you. And it hit me so hard, I thought, I just can't keep that to myself. That's got to continue to be passed along. So I'm going to share that with you this morning because it really does fit this whole understanding of agreeing and cooperating with God. All right? How many of you could use something in your life so simple and so profound that it would revolutionize your prayer life? Amen. I would agree. I could too. All right? And so what Pastor Mike shared at the conference was what he called a divine prayer secret. You know, anytime somebody says something like that, it gets my attention. A divine prayer secret. Well, if this is a secret, how long has this secret been hidden? You know? I want to know what it is. And so contained within that secret, I'm going to tell you already, is that God's plans do not come to pass automatically. What we've already established this morning is the truth that when it comes to prayer, one of the reasons we need to pray is because God's plans just don't go poof, and it's all done, taken care of. And too many people have that view of the sovereignty of God, don't they? That God said it, it's just going to happen, you just got to sit back and just wait and let it unfold. Like we don't have any involvement in that whole process, okay? But that's not what we see in the Scriptures. God intended for man to be engaged in the process, okay? And so it requires our involvement. And that is one of the foundational precepts of this prayer, this divine prayer secret. All right? So, is anyone interested in learning what it is yet? Okay. All right, here it is. Are you ready? Drum roll, please. Okay. God's promises are released when we pray God's promises. Now, I can just see the look on your face. That's it? That's all you got? God's promises are released when we pray God's promises? Well, it may sound simplistic, but I want to unpack just what that is saying to help you understand it, okay? First of all, what's implied is that if God's promises are released when we pray God's promises. How many know we got to pray? That's where we've got to start, right? So if you don't pray, or it's just a lick and a promise in the midst of, oh no, everything's falling apart, I guess I ought to pray and talk to God about this. And then we just wonder, why aren't we experiencing the bountiful promises of God? You think that might be a problem? Okay. So first and foremost, we've got to spend time talking with God. We've got to spend time in prayer. Okay? And so, if we want to see God move, it's going to require our engagement to agree with Him and cooperate with Him in prayer. Pastor Mike said this oftentimes when we were at the conference. He said, prayer moves the hand that moves the world. I like that. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Do we move the world by our prayers? No. Once in a while, we can walk in authority, right? Over our vessel, over our circumstances. And we can speak to that mountain and tell it to move, okay? But that's only because the authority is delegated to us that we have the authority to do it, okay? And so it's still His power that gets the job done, okay? But prayer moves the hand that moves the world. However, the act of praying itself is only one part of the equation. The most important component in the divine prayer secret is that it's not only about that we pray, it's how we pray. Okay? Now, some people will tell you, well, it's not a big deal. Prayer is just talking with God. Okay? Well, think about this. If you talk to someone as an individual, you're communicating with someone. Have you ever heard the saying, sometimes it's not always what you say to a person that affects them, but how you say it? Why would that be any different with God? See what I'm saying? See, you can say, no, thank you, or you can go, no. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Okay? And so some people think they come and they start asking God, and they approach Him one way. Oh Lord, would You please give me a little morsel that I could survive on? Does that sound like much faith to you? Or you can say, God, Your word tells me to give, you told me to pray, give us today our daily bread. Do you notice that's not a question? Give us today our daily bread. A little different way of praying, isn't it? Lord, You said, You will meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory. Now, there's a condition, whether you know it or not, in that passage, because that's related to giving, which, by the way, we'll talk about in another week. But there's a different way to approach God. We can approach Him in fear and doubt, or we can approach Him as a son or a daughter of God confidently in faith. There's two different ways to approach God. Now, let me ask you something. What do you think God likes more? Cowardice or courage? The Bible's clear. It says the cowardly, the wicked, the vile, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. But God wants us to come. He told Joshua how many times? Do you know? Be strong and courageous. Right? God wants us to approach Him courageously, confidently, boldly, it says, before His throne of grace. Okay? And so, it's not just about what we pray, it's how we pray. In other words, how we pray, when we pray, is the key to unlocking this divine secret of God's promises are released when we pray the promises of God. Okay? And so, God's promises, how many know, have already been established in His Word? And when God makes a promise, guess what? He's bound to keep it. Because the Bible says that He's not a man that He should lie. And so when God makes a promise, He has to keep good on His Word. And he does. But he wants us to step out into faith and to remind him of what he has promised. Okay? So when we hold up that God you said, then he begins to move. And his hand begins to move the world. All right? And this is really the art of praying in faith. One of the ways of praying in faith, all right? Because doesn't Hebrews 11:6 say, "And without faith it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Okay? And so when we agree with God and we hold his promises back up to him, what we're saying is that our faith is in you, Father. You said it. You said it. And if you said it, it's good as done. And I'm standing on your promises. That pleases the Father, okay? The problem is many times rather than looking into God's Word to find the promises that he's given us and to agree with them and to cooperate with them by praying them, okay? Many of us come in doubt and fear. And our prayer is more like, please help me. Please heal me. Please lead me. Please do something, God. It's kind of like the little boy. He says, "Dear Lord, my name is Jimmy. What can you give me?" Poor boy that I am. Right? Honestly, how many times do we come to God and pray like that? Please, God. I don't know if I can trust that you're a really good father. So somehow, maybe you'll be merciful. Could you just please? I mean, do you wonder what God thinks? I can just see him going, they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't know how much I really love them. They don't know how much I've already promised them. If they'll just grab hold of it and hold me to my word, to get it from heaven to earth, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hear the principle in there? Isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray? And the problem is we pray like that and it sounds more like whining to God than it does praying in faith. Okay? Pastor Mike shared a beautiful illustration about his daughter that really helped clarify the distinction between these two kinds of praying. And I want to share that because it's so impacted what he was saying. Shortly before his daughter was to get married, she came to him and reminded him of a promise that he'd made to her when she was 5 years old. Isn't that amazing? He had promised that one day he would give her a beautiful string of pearls. And so just shortly before that wedding day, she came to him. She had never forgotten that promise, and she came to him and reminded him of what that promise was, the pearls. And he said that when she did that, it was such a sobering moment for him, because this is how she did it. She said, "But Daddy, you promised." Can you imagine that? "But Daddy, you promised." And he said, after she said that, it affected him so deeply. He said, "If I had it to, I would have went and hunted the oysters myself and ate them on the half shell in order to make sure she got that set of pearls." And so it impacted him deeply. And he said it also touched him, the fact that his daughter had never forgotten his words to her, but remembered his promise. He said how deeply that touched my heart. And he said it really showed him the Heavenly Father's heart toward us. He said that's how we need to come to the Father and pray. "But Daddy, you promised." And do we pray like that? "Daddy, you promised that you would. Daddy, this is what you said. You said it right here. But the challenge is, how many of us remember the promises? How many of us come to Him and remind Him of what His Word says to us? Rather than come to Him in doubt and fear, but say, but Daddy, you promised. You promised, Daddy. And He's a good Father. Doesn't the Word say, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, depending on Matthew or Luke, give to you His gifts or His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Amen? So if an earthly father can be touched at the level of the heart because his daughter reminded him of a promise from being 5 years old, how much more do you think the Heavenly Father is moved when we come to Him in faith and say, but Daddy, you promised. When's the last time you went to the Heavenly Father and said, but Daddy, you promised? When we look into God's Word, it's filled with examples of this kind of praying. This is what's incredible. This is why this is actually a divine secret. Because a secret is not something that somebody doesn't necessarily know. It's what most people miss. Right? And it's right there in His Word, again and again and again, where people, when they come and they pray, they have held God's Word back up to Him. And they might not use those exact words, but in a real sense, they are saying, but Daddy, you said. Daddy, this is who you are. This is what you said. And when people came to God in faith and held His Word, God moved. And so what I want to do is I want to just look at some of these examples from Scripture that show us these examples. And we're going to look in both the Old and the New Testament. Okay? Because this is a principle, that when you hold God at His Word, He's bound to His Word. And it isn't because He has to, it's because He wants to. I wonder how many times God's been waiting for His people to come and say, just declare my promises to me. I want to see things happen in this realm, but it comes through you. And prayer is the first way it begins. So let's look at Genesis 18, 20 through 33. Many of you know the story. The story of Abraham and the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The men turned away and went toward Sodom. But Abraham, now these were the angels that had come, that were getting, if you want to put it in a southern term, that were fixing to get ready to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah because of the immorality that was there, okay? And it says, the men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Abraham was making an appeal, right? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? See, Abraham was appealing to the nature and character of God, that God is good, right? Now, God is also a judge. And judgment for sin must take place. Thank God for your sake and my sake that Jesus Christ bore the judgment of our sin in His body on the tree. Okay? But in this situation, there were still people that were Abraham was appealing to, if there's just 50 righteous people. And I'm not going to read through the rest, but you know, he whittled him 40, 30, 20, 10. You know, he just kept whittling him down. But, oh, Lord, forgive me, but, you know, I'm sorry to impose, but Lord. See, Abraham kept reminding God of his own nature and own character. And guess what? When he did it, God was true to who he was. And he honored Abraham's request, did he not? Now again, we know that when they got there, basically it was Lot and his family that was the only ones that had any righteousness in them. So we know judgment came upon the city. But God even held that back so that they had the opportunity to get out. See? So here's just one example of someone holding God to who he is related to his word. Okay? Then we see an Exodus with the nation of Israel. Exodus 32, 7 through 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down. He was up on Mount Sinai, right? Go down because your people, don't you love that? These were God's people, you know. But God was so fed up at that moment. Your people, this is like kids. Go tell your son. Go tell your daughter. You're the parents. You know, yeah. And yet when they do something great, hey, that's my kid up there. You see that? Okay. Well, here's God. That just cracks me up. All that. Whom you brought up out of Egypt, go down because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, listen to this, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Again, God is a just God. He has to judge sin, right? Now thank God he's made a way for judgment in his son. But here it is. It still gives us the character and nature of God. Not that his desire is to destroy, but he cannot look upon sin. Okay. Then I will make you into a great nation. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people? Notice this back and forth. Your people. Whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom, listen, you swore by yourself. Whose word? God's word. You swore by yourself, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them. There's the promise. And it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented. Everybody say, then. Yeah. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. But Daddy, you promised. You said you would make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars. Notice that it took Moses' prayer. Okay? Now, aren't you glad that we have an intercessor at the right hand of the Father constantly for us? Amen? Okay? But how many know we're called also to be intercessors on behalf of others? Okay? All right, now, let's continue on. Let's take it to the New Testament. All right? 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. How many? All people. For kings and all those in authority. So he's now being a little more specific. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Here's the key phrase. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So, what's the implication here? Somehow prayer isn't part of this process, right? Do you pray for people who need Christ? Do you pray that God's promises for them come into their life? Now, they have to be willing to, correct? Okay? But do we pray the promises of God? God, you said. Your word says that no one comes to the Father unless, or no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. Father, your word says that only through your drawing will people come to the Son. Father, draw this family member, this friend, this co-worker to your Son. Your word says right here, it takes you to do it, Lord. Draw them. Draw them, Lord. Because your word says that you don't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance, Father. That's your word. You don't want them to come. So, Father, draw them. See? See? Okay? This is good and pleases God our Savior. Listen, now hear this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. Okay? And this is what's incredible, is that Christ is the mediator, okay? He's the one mediator between God and man. He has the means that gives us access to oneness with the Father. And other passages say that he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, okay? But now listen, we're also here in this realm, okay? And so, Daddy, you promised. See, we're still holding God at his word in this realm. Do you understand that? We're in the physical place here. And so we're saying, Father, your word says this promise about what goes on here. And that's how you get your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You start praying the promises of God. And the promises of God are released when you pray the promises of God. Make sense? Okay? All right, Luke 18, 1 through 8. I'm just going to describe these now. Okay? You can write these down. Good scripture reading. This is the parable of the persistent widow. How many know the lady just kept coming? It's the parable of the unjust judge. Give me justice against my adversary. Give me justice against my adversary. She just kept coming and coming and coming. And finally, it says that the judge just got so wore out with her coming that even though he was evil, he gave her justice. Okay? And then if we work our way down, verse 6, and it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? So the implication is, listen, this parable is talking about being persistent with a dude that's unjust. Here's a God that's good and just. So it's not like he's up there going, let me play games with you. But he's still, Jesus is trying to teach the importance of, but still persist. Daddy, you said. Daddy, you promised. See, you got to be like a dog that just will not let go of a bone. And that you will not stop praying the promise until you get it. Because you know that it's yours. Isn't that what Mark teaches? That if you pray and believe that you have received it already, that it is yours? Listen, that's what you're basing it on. You're basing it on the Word of God. You're basing it on the promise. If God said he'll never leave you or forsake you and you're feeling lonely And you say, Daddy, you said that you will come and you will meet me where I'm at. You will minister life unto me. I mean, that's just one illustration, but we got to hold on. We've got to quit going, well, I don't see it. Must be the answer's no. You know, isn't that what you've been taught over the years? There's three answers you can get from God. Yes, no, and wait. Right? Well, I'm going to tell you, when you're praying the promises of God, no is not in the equation. I can't guarantee you the timing of everything. I don't have all that knowledge. But I can promise you that if God has promised you in His Word something, you keep praying it and say, Daddy, you promised. And you keep praying it until you get the answer. Because it's yours. Guaranteed. God cannot lie. That's why Bartimaeus, Mark 10, 46 through 52, that's exactly how this man prayed. Jesus is walking, come to Jericho. As Jesus and the disciples, I'll read it, together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. This man had a revelation, folks, that this Jesus was the Messiah. And since he was the Messiah, the son of David, he was a God of mercy. And so mercy was his promise. And so he kept crying out. But listen, it says, many rebuked him. Are you willing to pray even though somebody tells you, oh, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? Can't you take no for an answer? Well, this guy didn't. He said, have mercy on me. And shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you, Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, listen to this, your faith has healed you. Well, let's just back up to the verse we just read, because I didn't finish it. With the unjust judge. It says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see what Jesus is trying to teach here? Are you willing to hold God at His word? And it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, but when God gives you a promise, you don't let go. You just keep saying, Daddy, you promised. And you don't do it, listen, we don't do it with a face red and you know what I mean? Now maybe at the devil. But we come to God with humility and confidence and trust. You know, that's how that little girl, you know, I'm sure, could you imagine if Pastor Mike's daughter would have come and all red in the face, Daddy, how come you ain't giving me my pearls yet? You told me when I was 5 years old. She didn't come that way. There was the time she come, Daddy, you promised, you know. It just melted their father's heart. As you come confidently in faith. See, faith doesn't have to be this thing that you emotionally get yourself all worked up about. Now, I will say this, on the flip side of that, if Satan is trying to steal your promises from you, that's something to get worked up about. That's something to start, you know, I'm sorry, it's one thing if I'm just waiting on my daddy. It's another thing when some thief tries to come along and steal what's mine. Now I'm a little bit perturbed. See what I'm saying? And now I'm going to take the authority that's mine as a child of the Father and I'm going to say, it don't belong to you. You take a hike. You don't get to tell me what I get and what I don't get. And I'm telling you, how many of you, I want to ask you this morning, how many of you have received a promise from God and that voice just keeps coming? Well, it ain't happened yet. Well, how could, God must not love you. Oh, God's not faithful. How many have heard those voices? It must not be God's will. On and on and on and on and on. Liar, liar, liar. Daddy promised. And Daddy's going to make good on his promise. You just keep holding him to it. And you tell that liar to shut up. Yes, I said those words. One of my favorite examples, this is the last one. Leaving that place, this is Matthew 15, 21 through 28. The woman, the Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon, a Canaanite woman, so she was not even a Jew. From that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Heard that somewhere before, haven't we? Think somebody might know a little bit about the character of God? My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. So here it is again. Somebody, go away, you know? He answered, now this is interesting. Hear Jesus. This is his initial response. And this is really one of the only times in Scripture that you see a response like this from Jesus. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. So she didn't even listen to him in that moment. Lord, help me, she said. And he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread, meaning the Jews, right, and toss it to the dogs, because that's what they called Gentiles. And she says, yes, it is, Lord. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She knew the promise. She knew the character of God. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. What kind of faith do you have to hold on to the promises of God? What I also want us to understand is not only do we need to do that on an individual basis, we need to do that on a corporate basis as a church. Amen? I'm going to lay it out there this morning. I've already laid the foundation. If we want to see the promises of God fulfilled, we've got to first and foremost pray, right? It is not going to happen all by itself. Secondly, we've got to pray the promises, right? Well, if that's true on an individual basis, and it is, then is that not also equally true on a corporate basis for a body of believers? And how many of us really sense that it's part of our responsibility as a follower of Christ connected to a body of believers to join together with those believers in prayer, to pray, and not only to pray, but to pray the promises of God. Right? You want to know what is one of the least attended meetings in any given church? The corporate prayer meeting. Do we wonder why the church is declining in America? versus growing in America. Because I'm going to be honest with you, that's not the only reason the church isn't growing. Right? And I mean growing healthy, not just more numbers. Some of the other principles we're going to look at in future weeks also apply here too. But the reality is, listen folks, if we want to see the church grow, if we want to receive, if we want to inherit as a church the promises of God, if we want to impact this city, we're going to have to do it by crying out to God together, standing in faith, believing He's got promises for this church and Hastings, Michigan and Berry County. And we come together and we call out to God and we say, "But Daddy, You said." Because when you come to prayer in that way, now you go into a new dimension. It requires the power of agreement, of unity, right? That's what the Bible talks about. And so we need to come together. And so I can promise you, we don't come here on Sunday night for our prayer service just to hear ourselves blow wind. And because I need one more thing to do in my schedule. It's because it's that important. It's that critical. That we as the body of Christ unite together. That we cry out, say, "Daddy, this is what You said. Do You want the kingdom of heaven to come to this earth? And is your vision bigger than just you and your family?" If it is, you need to be joining together with other believers in prayer. Praying the promises of God. But we're talking kingdom promises now, right? Kingdom promises. So I want to challenge you. Now don't hear big old bad Pastor Scott waving his bony finger under your nose. If I guilt you into this, then it's pointless. You have no motivation. You'll come once or twice, and that will be the end of it. The conviction will wane. It will just be another thing that you did because Pastor Scott said you were supposed to do it. Remember we said last week, or a couple weeks ago, I said to you, we just don't do the practices of serving God just to do another practice. It has to come from your heart. But if you want to see the kingdom of God expanded, if you want to see something happen in the lives of the people of this city, if you want to see this church family grow to the place where we are truly fulfilling our vision and people are experiencing Christ as a refuge and a strong tower and they're experiencing the light of Christ transforming their lives, I'm going to tell you, prayer is essential. It's essential in your own life. It's essential with your family. It's essential as a church. And so I'm just going to ask you this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to stir you up about this, to stir you up. What is God speaking to your heart? And you know what? Rejoice in what Daddy has promised. See, that's the good thing. If we make this heavy burden, if we make this, "Oh man, oh no, another prayer meeting. Oh." No. Daddy's got a set of pearls that He's just been waiting to give you. Daddy's got some good things in mind for you, for your family, for LifeGate Community Church. See, come expecting, come knowing, God, Dad, You'll make good on Your word. See, that's why prayer meetings become so burdensome. Because nobody really believes that what we're praying is actually going to happen. Come on, let's be honest. If you believed what you were praying was going to happen, you couldn't wait to get here. right? You couldn't wait to see the miracles. You couldn't wait to catch the blessings. So really, is the issue prayer as much as faith? Right? Well, you know what? If you want your faith to be strengthened, you're going to have to exercise it. See, Moses had to step into the water before it was parted. Right? Moses had to obey. Then God acted. Are we going to obey first and believe God to do the miracles? I've been praying for miracles, and I'm expecting miracles. I'm telling you, I'm expecting miracles, because Daddy said we can have them. Amen? Amen. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart this morning what you need to do, okay? In your own life. In your quiet time, I challenge you. I double dog dare you. Get in His Word. Find a promise. Believe it. Pray it. Stand on it. And receive it. Amen? Let's pray. Father God,